2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
For the love of Salt Lake Radio News, with Maria Chilios on KSL News Radio.
We've already established the important role radio, and specifically radio news, played in the lives of Salt Lake residents in the 70s. But KSL also made history when it became the first radio station to broadcast a locally produced evening talk show to a national audience.
From Salt Lake City, high in the Mountain West, the Mutual Broadcasting System presents the Herb Jepko Nightcap Show.
In 1975, the Nightcap Show made history, becoming the first nationally syndicated call-in talk show on the Mutual Broadcasting Network.
Who's the man who listens to everybody's noise? He's never lost his temper. He's never lost his poise.
This next call is here from Florida. Good morning.
Hello, Herb.
Hello there.
Jepko, the Herb of Hours Lane.
Herb Jepko's overnight show had already been running on KSL Radio for 11 years when the Mutual Network picked it up. At its pinnacle, Jepko had 10.5 million listeners nightly and was heard on over 255 stations across the nation.
He was the same person in person, one-on-one, as he was on air with mostly lonely little old ladies who were insomniacs. Just a warm, caring, and an incredible warmth in his voice.
KSL employee Rich Finlinson would stick around after screening calls for a talk show called Public Pulse to chat with Jepko about the radio business.
What was fun about it, though, is he was so used to his on-air routine that he could actually carry on two conversations. So he would be on the air talking to someone, and most of his side of the conversation would be, yes, oh dear, yes dear, thank you, yes, uh-huh. And he would open the microphone to say those things, but then he would close the microphone and turn to me, and we'd have a conversation while he was talking with someone on the air.
Nightcaps are people.
It was a non-controversial program. The whole thing was more of a, hi, how are you? Everything's wonderful. Or, gee, Herb, I have a lot of arthritis pain tonight. And, you know, he would say, oh, we haven't heard from you for a long time. Or, oh, welcome back. You know, and they had the nightcaps and nightstands, and it was a pretty going concern.
John Donnell was KSL Radio's chief engineer. He says despite the show's popularity, Herb Jepko's deal with the Mutual Network came to a close when the network pushed Jepko to become more controversial to attract a younger audience.
Mutual offered Herb the whole network deal, and he didn't want to move to Washington, D.C., where their headquarters were. He wanted to stay here. So as a result, Larry King got that.
Hi, everybody. This is Larry King. In tonight's edition of your Peabody Award-winning Coast to Coast Larry King Show, will
the Nightcaps program continued for another 5 years after the network deal ended. Jepko is often cited as a pioneer whose syndication provided the foundation for more controversial talk show hosts like Larry King and Phil Donahue.
The nation mourns the loss of 7 astronauts. Good evening. I'm Tracy Kayford, Call Radio News. The space shuttle calendar.
That was an exciting time, a really exciting time, because the competition was keen, and you could be first.
Fred Scott was the news director at Call Radio from 1976 to 1996, with a news department of 5 to 6 people.
I felt that the role was to act in a totally impartial but mildly aggressive way, in becoming a clear conduit between the general public and the government that served them. Because they are acting in your behalf, with your blessings, with your vote, and with your money. and they need to be accountable.
He says the mission of his news department was clear under the third-class radio telephone license required by the FCC.
You are licensed to operate in the public interest. And I saw that as part of my job, not necessarily having a license to be in the so-called Fourth Estate, but to operate always in the public interest.
Delivering information to their listeners wasn't just important to these local owners. They took pride in providing valuable news content from around the world. Even broadcasters like Dan Bomas, who worked for stations with more of an emphasis on music, described the pride that the ownership took in providing news.
It was a local top 40 station, and the news was mostly rip and read from an old clanging UPI teletype. You know, back in that era, they were so proud of their teletype that they put it in a glass case in the front office.
Rock music station KRSP was one of those music stations that played a significant role in providing local news coverage. When Dan Bomas was hired in 1979 to report and anchor at KRSP, there were four people in the news department.
I saw my role as, to a large extent, being John Carter's straight man. Okay, but also letting my listeners know what was going on so that in when they got to work and somebody said, hey, did you hear about X? They would have heard about X.
7 o'clock update this morning on Rock 103 with Dan Bomas. And we are KRSP FM 103.5, Salt Lake City, Ogden, Provo. Here's Dan.
A police officer found the body of a shooting victim in an abandoned house in Ogden yesterday.
We were about the first team rock and roll morning show in Salt Lake.
College basketball up in Logan, Utah State, beat the Lethbridge Pronghorns from Canada. The score was 110-38.
You betcha.
Heck of a game up there.
The Lethbridge Pronghorns.
Yeah, Lethbridge.
Besides the four full-service news shops that existed in Salt Lake in the early 1980s, others employed one or two employees to provide news and public service to their listeners. Among them were KSFI, KLO, KNRS, and country music station KSOP. KSOP, owned and operated by founder Henry Hilton and his family, was committed to providing news as a part of the station's mission to serve the community. KSOP was also the world's first full-time FM stereo station to play country western music.
The FM was the first full-time country FM station in the United States. And so it was an AM-FM combo and a quirky little place to work. Everybody in each office had the last name Hilton. Waylon Jennings once upon a time applied for a job as a disc jockey at this radio station because it was the first place ever. They promoted concerts here, so they had a one-on-one relationship with many of these artists. And they used to bring all of the country shows to Salt Lake before there were big promoters doing it.
Tim Hughes was the afternoon drive announcer on KSOP from 1979 to 1988.
And that worked for them. It was okay because they were such a legendary radio station in this market, and they had such heritage. And they were, for a while, the only country station in town. So they didn't feel like, and they were proved themselves right, that they didn't need ratings necessarily to go sell.
Still to come on For the Love of Salt Lake Radio News, we hear how a shift in philosophy and policy at the federal level began to translate into the delivery of less news and information at the local level.